so valued by the Lord. You're so important to Him. And so often we think we're so inconsequential in the span of God's provisions, His authority, His sovereignty, that we're just this little speck. And yet, we have a place in His heart. We are so loved and valued by God, our Creator. And He's given us His Holy Spirit to encourage us, to empower us, to give us, listen, wisdom regarding the things of God. And as we continue to walk with Him, we mature in our faith. We mature in our understanding of the things of God. And like Daniel, we're living in a foreign land, a different culture. And as we'll get into the study, Pastor Ron and I were just talking, you know, the Bible says that in the end times, things are going to get really bad. They're going to get really different. And we're like, yeah, come on, Jesus, come. Well, it's starting, and we don't like it, do we? The things around us are changing. This is a different place. This is a different world that we're living in. We see the demonic forces, this world system, coming together. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves are now running our country. We're seeing politicians' absolute lie and corruption, and all the people around him saying, yeah, he's the man. So things have changed. Are we prepared for that? Well, I pray that we are, because I pray that as we study the scripture, we have an understanding that there are spiritual battles going on around us. We're going to talk about that. And we so often look at our circumstances and our situations and the things around us, and we blame the things that we see in the physical. And yet, as you know, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities in the spiritual realm. Well, Daniel's going to show us an important lesson for us to learn tonight. Daniel has four visions. We've gone through three of them already. Now, Daniel's not in chronological order, so it doesn't flow as the story goes. The first couple chapters have this much to say, and then these two chapters go together, not chronologically, but as God unfolds His plan for His people, we learned last week that there'll be 77-year periods for the nation of Israel, for the people of God. 69 of them have already happened. The clock has stopped when Christ went to the cross, when the Messiah would be cut off. One more 7-year period has to happen. And you know, if you've been with us for any season of time or read the scriptures, when the Antichrist is revealed, what happens before the Antichrist is revealed? The church is raptured. We are not here. We are not here. Did you hear that? The church is gone. The Antichrist is revealed. Now, there's people talking about COVID being the mark of the beast and all this foolishness. It's not the mark of the beast. Doesn't happen. The mark of the beast doesn't happen until the Antichrist is here, right? The beast comes and he wants to be worshipped. The church is not here. And those who would follow him would be marked by him. But we are marked as well, aren't we? We are marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit because we belong to the Lord. And they had asked Jesus when he was walking with the disciples, should we pay taxes? And Jesus says, well, show me a coin. Whose face is on that? They said, Caesar's. Pay Caesar's what is Caesar's. And pay to God what is God's. Well, whose mark is on your life? Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, which is a seal and a guarantee of our inheritance. And so we don't have to worry about a medical procedure or any, even if it is a medical mark, being the mark of the beast. It's not. However, we believe that the world is being prepared for such a thing right now. These type of things, the government and mass governing authorities telling everybody what to do, and we just follow them like sheep. That's happening, right? All of a sudden, there's a new COVID. There's another strand, right? 50% more susceptible to people who are weak, right? You're going to get it. So stay home. Don't do anything. And so we see them ramping it up. Why? Because they want to take total control. They want to take total power. And we're seeing it happen. And we don't like it, do we? I certainly don't. However, We're not here for what happens on the earth. We're here for God's plan for our life. You are a messenger from the King. And as we mentioned Sunday when you were with us, the angels came and told the shepherds that they bring them good tidings of great joy, which for all people, right? We are now those angels bringing the good news of the gospel of Christ. We have been given a mandate. Jesus says, go and make disciples and tell them everything about me. Tell them everything I taught you, and I will be with you forever. The angels came to announce the coming of Christ. Christ has come. He has died and risen again, as he said, and they that believe in him will have had the righteousness put upon them in them, which is the Holy Spirit, and were marked with the Holy Spirit. During the tribulation period, there are others who are marked by the Holy Spirit. Who are they? Those are the 144,000, 12,000, each of the tribes of Israel will be marked that they're God's, and they won't be touched. They won't be harmed. And so here we have a vision of end time events. Chapter 10 is the introduction to chapter 11, which is a long chapter. And God willing, when we come back again, we will not meet next Wednesday. Next coming Wednesday, we won't be meeting. It's January 30th. So mark your calendar. We won't be here. And then we'll follow up the following Wednesday. We'll be back in. And we'll go through chapters 11, which shows us the vision, in chapter 12 as well. And we'll finish the book. Chapter 10 is the introduction, and it's very important for understand some of the elements in here. So the vision Daniel receives from God, it's the fourth here in chapter 10, and it presents him with a deeper challenge than any of the other past visions. He knows he is engaged in spiritual warfare. Daniel 10 sets up the stage for this spectacular prophecy, this message in Daniel 11, which describes a time of great persecution and testing for the people of Israel. God had given them their plan, and Moses had laid it out for the nation of Israel when they crossed into the promised land, and they all said, we agreed to this. We will do what God has said for us to do. And they failed, and they didn't. And God began to punish them for their disobedience, right? So when they bring Jesus to the cross, they said at the trial with Pontius Pilate, let his blood be upon us and our children. And so we see the results of their proclamations and their failures to follow Christ or follow God as God had outlined for them in the law. And so we know they had failed, they had disobeyed, they were disobedient, and God punished them. When they were obedient to God, God blessed them. And when they were disobedient, God punished them. Isn't it great that we're living in a time of grace? That we don't have that same relationship now as they did then. That God punishes us every time we disobey the Lord. We'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? Just like them. I mean, we're no different. Sin is common, right? But isn't it great that God has poured his grace upon us now? We're living in this time of grace where God is calling all men unto himself. We're living between the 69 seven-year periods and the final seven-year period. And this is called the church age. This is called the time of grace where God has called us to be his messengers here on earth physically. The angels that spoke to the shepherds came from the sky, right? It was a vision, and it was an appearance, but we're here physically. And God says, tell them about me, and I'll be with you always. I am in you, with you forever. I will empower you. I'll give you the words to say when you don't know. But know this, there's a warfare going on around you. Especially when you commit yourself to the Lord. Especially when you said, here I am, Lord, use me. Especially when God gives you a platform, when God gives you a skill, when God gives you a talent, and people are watching. You're in spiritual warfare, and we'll see that in chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long and understood the message. He understood the message and he had understood, had the understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Let's look at this. So again, a time of special waiting upon the Lord. He is physically denying his flesh, not eating certain types of foods, so that he could draw closer to the Lord. What is the purpose of fasting? Well, at this point in time, Daniel is about 85 years old. And remember, Daniel is not written in chronological order, so he had already been through a lot of things in his life. He had been taken into captivity. He had watched his friends thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember the story? He himself had been thrown into the lion's den. He could have sat back, relaxed, and taken a break, but he doesn't do that. We see him here in the text. He's fasting for 3 weeks, 21 days. Now, it says that he didn't eat any pleasant food, so he probably was eating vegetables. He was eating something, but it was for 21 days. He is denying his physical. Why? Why fast? Fasting is to deny the physical so that we can focus and seek spiritual truths. Denying the physical and seeking the spiritual feeding of the Word and of the Lord. Seeking the Lord. So Daniel wants to hear from God, and so he voids himself of the physical to pray to the Lord, to ask the Lord for guidance. How many of you have ever fasted? Ever? Some of us take medications, and you have to take food with that, so it's sometimes very difficult to fast. But you don't have to fast for it. You could fast for a period. You could fast from something. The fasting is to deny the physical to seek the Lord, right? So this is what he's doing. And now verses 4 through 7. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is Tigris, I lifted my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz, and his body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like the torches of fire, his arms and his feet like the burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. So amazing vision that he sees here. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, and so that they fled to hide themselves. We see this happening in the New Testament. Saul of Tarsus is out to persecute and to kill and to bring in the Christians into the prisons and to persecute them, and he's struck on the road to Damascus. He's struck down. He's blinded. A great lightning bolt, whatever, comes out of the sky and blinds him. Those around him didn't hear the voice of the Lord, but Jesus himself speaks to him. There's a revelation that happens, but the people around him don't understand it. Why? Well, sometimes God gives you a revelation. Certainly not knocking you to the ground or the thunder's rolling over, but the people around you won't understand, don't see it. So as he's fasting and he prayed, he saw an appearance of this, some believe, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And we believe that because a vision that he has here compares with the record of Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 1 as well. So as it's explained, his appearance and such, it's parallel to them. Now, only Daniel saw the vision, and he understood, as God brings revelation to you, everyone around you doesn't understand it. When I was in New York City with Luis Palau, Mariano Rivera, the pitcher for the Yankees, was there at the event, and we met with him. Everybody's familiar with him, Yankees players, certainly New Yorkers, certainly. He's a Christian. He's a believer. That's why he was there. He spoke to the crowd at the event, and we were talking with him, and he was saying, you know, there's people in my church, people in my family that don't understand the vision that God gave me. And he says, but God didn't give it to them. It's my vision. Follow me as I follow the Lord, right? So people around you won't understand, but as God gives you a vision or gives you wisdom, some people may avoid you. Well, here, this is what happens. These guys fled to hide themselves. Now, when we talk about end time events, I watch people in our church squirming in their chairs, especially on Sunday. Now, the reason why they're perhaps squirming is that they're young in their faith. I'm not talking down about anybody. But there are people, when you speak about end times and that God is going to call you home one day, they cringe at those thoughts. They don't have the understanding. The revelation hasn't come to them. Perhaps they're too young in their faith. Perhaps their mind hasn't been set upon the things above, but here on the things on the earth. And so God gives us a vision. When we started Calvary Chapel, Pompano Beach, you know, because you put a Calvary sign up, they're not rushing to your door. That's not how it works. And the challenges that happened when we started on a Wednesday night. I was in an internship with another local church. We had like 25, 30 people in the house church at the time. And every week it began to diminish until it got down to like 4 people. And so what do you think God is doing in this? Well, this is what you ask yourself. Well, God, are you in this? Or is it me? And we have to ask those questions, right? Did God really call me to start the church? But here's what Satan does. Who do you think you are? He's throwing darts. Why bother? Nobody's coming. Everybody's left, right? This is what he does. And you question yourself, Lord, are you in this? But here's the test. The test wasn't for the church. The test was for me. Am I going to continue to study every week, 2 sermons a week, still working full-time, kids are young, life is a little difficult, right? Have to make ends meet working and extra work. Am I going to continue to study and teach 4 people, or am I going to sit back and wait until 500 come? Because if I would have waited for 500, we'd never had a church, right? And the people around me would say, you're not a pastor. Why start a church? Just go back to Fort Lauderdale. Whose voice was that? That wasn't of God. You see, the test is ours. When God reveals something in your life and a calling in your life, that revelation was to you. Now, certainly, God may use other people around you to confirm that as you counsel with that. And I certainly got counsel with it, too. Chuck Smith says, if you believe the Lord is in it, take steps of faith. He'll show you if he's not. 4 people coming to the church wasn't him telling me they weren't coming, right? Circumstances happened. So we moved from that house to a small chapel at another local church, and the chapel was full. It was very small, but smaller than this. But God showed his hand in that, right? And then we moved from that chapel to another chapel. And while we were there, God was faithful. God was bringing the people. People were coming in to get saved. People got saved. People got baptized. Some of them died. Baptized, disappeared. We didn't know where they were. Weeks later, we hear, oh, yeah, that person died. You hear? No. We were able to minister to them. And then we had to leave that location because we wanted to do a Sunday service. And so we go to Pompano High School over here. Beautiful $4 million facility, brand new theater that they have. $985 to rent per service. So we were only doing Sunday service. So $985, the first service we had, we never filled it because it was huge. First service we had like a $1,500 tithe. I'm like, yeah, we got this. Every week after that, it went down. Now, I put up personally 3 months rent. So you add it up, that's a lot of money. But I put that up personally and said, all right, Lord, I'm going to give this to the church. If you're in this, you got to make it happen because I can't, right? Every week after that, the tithing went down. The people remained for the most part, but the giving slowed down. Now, I don't know why it slowed down, but I know God had a plan. God was working out his plan. So here's what happens. After the end of the 3 months, we were out. If God didn't move, we were out. Now, my mother says, for the second time, the first time she says, hey, let's go to the Pink Church. Here's what I said. There's no way, Mom, they're going to let us in there. They're denominational. There's no way. She calls the pastor, makes an appointment for me. So I show up to the Pink Church. If you're familiar with the Pink Church here at Copens, and we used their chapel for a season. I walked in. I was working at the time in my BSO uniform. He didn't even say anything. He said, oh, hey, how are you, Pastor? Here's the keys. Here's the alarm code. Boom, that was it. God worked that out, right? But we had moved from there now to the high school, and the money wasn't there to stay. So we're praying, Lord, now we're going to go. My mother again says, hey, let's go to the Methodist church. Same words used. There's no way they'll let us in. They're denominational. Ain't going to happen. My mother makes a phone call, and we meet with the staff, and we're here. God had a plan for us, and we were here for 3.5 years. And then Michael W. Smith opened up what's called Rocket Town, supported by this church here in Pompano, and we moved to that location for 3.5 years as the home church there. Beautiful place, great ministry, but they ran out of money, and so God brought us back here. We haven't left here. We've looked everywhere for a church of our own, and it hasn't happened. And so we're here because this is where God has us. But here's what I want to say is that if I would have continued to pay for Pompano High School, number one, I'd be broke because it was too much money. But number two, how would I know if God was in it? I wouldn't have, right? I would have been making it happen. And sometimes we have to sit back and watch what God does. Because you see, the very last Sunday that we met at Pompano High School, there was a Brazilian church meeting here in our place. And that was their last service. They had found another place and were moving out. We didn't know this. But guess who knew this? God knew this. So when I'm panicking, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? We have nowhere to go. He was already working it out. 3 months of rent was paid. At that last end of the 3 months, God had worked out where this Brazilian church was moving out. And guess what? God was moving us right in. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God will reveal it to you. But sometimes it's difficult. There is a battle, spiritual, that's going on. All along the way, people around me, family members, why did you start a church? There's one right down the street. Well, there's churches on every corner. That doesn't mean God hasn't called us to do it, right? And so here we see in the story a vision that happens with Daniel. Those around him didn't understand. He didn't worry about them. He continued to seek the Lord in this situation. And so verse 8, therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard a sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face to the ground. And so the effect of seeing God, seeing Jesus in this vision, was just devastating to him. He was in fear, and he didn't have an understanding. And this is the effect that any man would have in the presence of Almighty God. Isaiah the prophet says, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. His train filled the temple with glory. And then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, and I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. The effect of seeing the Lord is always seeing yourself in true light. We don't see ourselves in true light. We see ourselves in light of others, don't we? We see other people on television doing bad things, like, well, I'm not that bad, right? But that's not the standard. The standard is Christ. Listen, the standard is perfection. Wow. And I can't attain that myself. And neither can you. And that's why Jesus came and he put his spirit in us and sealed us as his own. And God sees us perfect because God sees us through the vision of his Son. And this is why we come to the Lord. We come to God in Jesus' name. He is that door. He is that access to our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus said, you do error that you compare yourself with men. So to see myself in the real light that God sees me, I must see myself in light of Jesus. And looking at myself in light of Jesus, I bow down and I bow my head and I praise him because I am unworthy. You see the picture? In the presence of a true and holy God, We have nothing to do but bow down because we are imperfect, but he is perfect. And we look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm a sinful man. I am unworthy. I am unrighteous. I am unholy. And God, depart from me. This is what Isaiah says. I am a sinful man. But guess what? God loves you. God cares for you. You are important to him. He has calculated you in his plan to save the world. Oh, you're not going to save the world, but people around you, you are going to be that messenger. God has a plan for you. You're on his team. And so here Daniel's going to see this vision, but suddenly, verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palm of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, that's the fasting part, before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. So this angel is sent by God because of Daniel's prayers. Wow. So if God had heard his prayer from the very first day, as we just heard, then why no answer for 21 days? Why does God delay? Our experience shows us that sometimes the answer is immediate, right? Lord, help me. What's the answer? Okay, I'll go that way. Oftentimes, there's a delay. And that delay causes us to walk in faith, trust in God, and hope in his presence, right? Hope in his answer for us. It teaches us patience to wait upon the Lord. So perhaps the answers are delayed because, listen, there are things happening around us that God is working out things behind the scenes that we're not aware of. So why would we say that? Well, look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, another word for princes here is angels, right? Came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. And now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days. So this is the purpose of the vision, so that he understands what will happen to the people, his people, in the later days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. So from the first day, your words were heard. So God responded to Daniel's prayer the very moment he made his request known. So this is very interesting, isn't it? What was going on? Why the delay? Why 21 days when you heard me the first day? God's working out his plan. There was a spiritual battle going on. There was a spiritual tussle happening, which delayed the answer coming to Daniel. Wow, there's wisdom in this now, right? Sometimes we want the answers right away, but God is sovereign. He knows more than us. He knows what's happening behind the scenes. There's a spiritual struggle. There's a spiritual battle that's happening. I have come because of your words. So we can't pass over this lightly. The angel was dispatched because of Daniel's prayer. And there is another of many reminders in the book of Daniel that prayer matters. It's important. So this is real. This is a real angel. The angel said, the prince, the angel of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me. Since this prince is able to oppose the angelic messenger to Daniel, we know this is more than just a man, right? The prince is some kind of angelic being. And we know that because it is an evil angelic being. It opposed the word of God that was coming to Daniel and stood against God's messenger. So there is a spiritual battle happening here in Daniel's life. He doesn't know it. All he knows is he's waiting to hear from God. He has been fasting for 21 days. what's going on during that 21 days? There's a spiritual battle happening, right? The king of Persia, who will at some point overtake God's people, is battling. And Michael, the archangel, comes, which we believe is a covering angel for the nation of Israel. He shows up. So the word prince has the idea of a ruler of authority. And it fits well with the New Testament idea of angelic ranks, right? Including demonic forces. Ephesians chapter 6, 12 says, for our struggle, whose struggle? Our struggle, meaning believers, right? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have a spiritual battle going on around us. And sometimes things don't work out the way we want because we see in this text there's things happening that we don't see. We don't understand. Perhaps haven't been revealed to us. Daniel didn't know what was going on until the angel then tells him. Tells him why the delay happened. Colossians 12 tells us that we were buried with him in baptism and that we have raised again in his resurrection with him as well. And Colossians 13 and 15 says, and when you were dead in your wrongdoings and the circumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him, having forgiven us all our wrongdoings, having canceled the certificate of debt, depending on your translation, consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And verse 15 in Colossians chapter 6, chapter 2, I'm sorry. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made them a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Christ. What is that? These are not equal forces. It's not like God's winning today and Satan's winning tomorrow. And, oh man, I hope God wins today and Satan doesn't win. And these are not equal forces at all. Satan is a created being. And he knows the promises that God has given. So from the very beginning, he's done everything he can to thwart God's plan. God created Adam and Eve to live with them forever. He tricks them into disobeying God. And he speaks about a seed, right? In Genesis 3, that there'll be a seed of the woman, speaking of the Messiah to come. Women don't have seeds, but she'll conceive of a virgin birth. Satan knows that, so what does he do? He tries to pollute the entire world to stop the coming Messiah from the seed. So angelic beings come in, Nephilims, giants, come in and sleep physically with women and conceive giants, these Nephilim-type people. So he's trying to pollute the genetic pool for the coming of Christ. Not only humans, but animals as well. This is why God comes and he wipes it all out except for one family that was not polluted. So now you have an understanding. Satan's plan all along the way was to take out Christ, to stop this seed from coming. When they hear that there's a child coming, what does Herod do? Kill all the firstborn children. And so they go out and they kill all the firstborn children. Why did he do that? He was trying to stop the Messiah from coming. So the Messiah came. He couldn't do it. And now Christ makes a spectacle of all these demonic forces. Look what Christ has done. The grave couldn't hold him. And now God seals you with his Holy Spirit. And he says, go tell everyone I have come. And all along your walk in life, there'll be challenges for you. Why? We're living in a fallen world. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities in the demonic realm. But we're not alone. God has given us his Spirit. We have an angelic host around us, right? And God is protecting us. And God is guiding us. And God is directing us. So now we know why the flood happened. Now we know why God killed all of the animals and everything. Everything was polluted. through this demonic force to stop the seed that would come through David, right? And so here's Satan's plan for you. He wants to take you out too. Oh, he might not want to kill you, but he wants to ruin your reputation so nobody will listen to you, right? He wants you hanging out with the wrong crowd so your reputation's ruined, so you don't go to church and you don't do these things. Or even if you are coming, he might make your world difficult and challenging you and make life hard for you. It's a spiritual battle. Because I've shared with you, when I graduated seminary, Pastor Buck, you know who Pastor Buck was at Calvary Chapel? Pastor Jeff Buck at Calvary Chapel was our seminary professor there. And when I graduated, he asked me, will you come in and teach some of the Bible college courses? And here's what he said. Oh, there's no way. I don't have any time. I didn't go to seminary school to be a pastor. I just wanted to learn about the Lord. I said, there's no way. I'm working full time. There's no way. And then when God called me, I was teaching twice a week. And so God enabled me to do what I thought I couldn't do at all. But when I graduated, I said this, because I had a men's group. I had 19 guys at my house. I was ministering, but not at a pastoral level and certainly not from a pulpit. So when I graduated, I said, all right, Lord, if you want me to teach, have somebody ask me. And this was after Pastor Buck had asked me. And sure enough, 2 weeks after that prayer, pastor knocks on my house. He knew I graduated from seminary. He says, hey, I'm going away. Will you fill in for me? And that was a specific answered prayer from God. If you want me to teach, have somebody ask me. I'm going away. Will you fill in for me? And as soon as I said yes, I was under the craziest spiritual attack that I've ever had, never had it before, and never had it since. I was confused. I couldn't think. I wrote 5 sermons, threw them all out. Confusion in my head, praying the whole time, and I'm asking for counsel of people. Man, what do I do? Oh, man, you know, you got to trust in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. You know, things are difficult. I know that, but I knew the verses, but I had to live it out. And so Friday comes, and I don't know what I'm going to teach. What am I going to do? I've written these things down. I don't feel comfortable. Lord, what do I do? And I'm seeking and the Lord for direction. And so Saturday comes, and I wake up in the morning Saturday with peace. And God gives me a message that's written out. Sunday morning, I show up in peace. I give my first message ever to the church. God was with me. Satan was hindering me. And I was under spiritual attack. I knew all the verses that relate to that. You don't fight against flesh. I knew all this. But I had to live it out. And living it out is trusting in the Lord. Walking in faith. Trusting in Him. Living in that hope in me, the hope of glory with Christ in my soul, and allowing Him to bring me that peace. I couldn't produce it. Nobody could give it to me. But it was only Christ that gave me that peace in His perfect time. Now, why did that happen? I still have no idea, but I know it happened. And I know I had to go through it. And I know it was demonic, because confusion is not from the Lord. And so when you set out to do the things of God, especially if you're teaching the word or bringing the truth or evangelizing or witnessing to people, you're going to be under attack. How many have been under attack before? You've been under attack. If you're a believer, one way or another, you've been under attack. And guess what? Satan's not going to give up on you. But that's okay. Because, listen, we have the weapons, right? We have the weapons of warfare. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, period. That's the weapons. Now we need to trust in the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's through prayer. And this is what Daniel's doing. Daniel is praying and fasting, seeking the Lord in this situation. He doesn't know why there's this long delay. And it doesn't tell us anything else that's happening. But what does tell us that there was a spiritual battle going on. There's a spiritual battle going on right now all around us. And it is for the souls of men. Satan wants as many people to drag as many people into the pits of hell as possible. He wants as many pastors to be discredited from the pulpit as possible. He wants them to have affairs. He wants them to steal and to rob and do everything everybody else is doing so that they lose their credibility. We've watched this happen, haven't we? He's not done. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by his tricks. There is a spiritual attack going on all the time, but these are not equal forces. Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? If God is for me, who can be against me, right? In other words, it doesn't matter who's against me. If God is for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. And perhaps you've been through some spiritual battles. Perhaps there are some things going on in your life you can't put together. Or you know, listen, man, I blew it. This is what happened, and I fell for this spiritual trap. But I'm out of it now. What do I do? Praise the Lord. Give God glory. Do what he says. Tell people the good news. And your fall could be a message as well. Listen, be careful that we don't walk so proud and in pride because we're believers, because you'll fall one day. Satan will want that for you. Be careful. The Bible says that. Be careful, lest you fall as well. But if you have, that's a testimony. Listen, Satan's got a trap. I fell in it once, but God got me out, and I'm on the right path. So be strong in the faith. Let me pray for you. See how it works? And so in our text in Daniel, apparently this was a demon of a high rank that opposed the answer to this prayer. On three occasions, Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of the air or the prince of the world, right? And since his angel has been dispatched immediately in Daniel's period of prayer, a self-denial for 21 days, we see that the answer to the prayer was delayed because of the spiritual warfare that's happening. Listen, things around us might not work out the way we plan or perhaps we want, right? We're seeing that today. We're seeing strange things happen around us. And it seems as if everyone is involved. Remember the movie, and I mentioned this, Pastor, Star Wars. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but the first Star Wars movie, where the one guy says, "You know, the Force has a lot of power," and they're stopped by these stormtroopers, and the stormtroopers come up to this aromatic car, and he says to them, "These are not the drones you're looking for." And the guard goes, "These are not the drones we're looking for." Then he says, "Be on your way." The guard goes, "Be on your way." And then when they pull away, the kid goes, "What happened?" He says, "The Force has a lot of power." These guards were doing exactly what he was telling them to do. And we're seeing this demonic realm happening around us. Reporters, religious people, people we're trusting in, law enforcement, judges, political people. This is a world system coming together. We're seeing it happen. And what was at one time a disgrace has become the norm. Lying and such is the norm around us. So what do? We're not moved or shaken by it, and I pray that you're not. I pray that you're going to be the man of God that God has called you to be, the woman of God that God has called you to be, that you're going to be like Daniel, that you have purposed in your heart not to defile yourself, no matter what's happening around you. Things may not be working out in the world today like we plan or like we want to. Something's happening. Because here's what God says to us, that all things will work out for those who are in Christ. If you're in Christ, all things will work out for the good of those who are in Christ, those who are called according to his purpose. And so, things may not be working out the way we want to. Things may be very difficult, but God is with you, and he's going to work it out. Well, it's not happening real fast, Pastor. Well, we just see 21 days. Something was going on behind the scenes. So now we have wisdom and understanding. Sometimes things don't work out in our timeline, but they're working out in God's timeline. At the right time, God sends his angel to take out this demonic force that was holding the messenger back. And so it's putting our trust in the Lord, being the man of God, the woman of God that God has called us to be. Remember, the task ahead of you is never greater than the power behind it. God's not going to send us into an impossible situation without being able to get us through it. Stay strong. Purposed in your heart today that you will not be defiled by the things around you, by the world around you. Charles Swindoll says this: the world needs men and women who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character before wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who do not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everyone else is doing it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as prosperity, who do not believe that their shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth of God in an unpopular world, who can say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world is saying yes. The world needs Jesus, and every day we see a changing world around us. God is calling us to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that a picture of your life? I pray it is. And as we finish the chapter, we see the truth of God coming to fruition, because God is going to fulfill all the things that he says in the book of Daniel. And he's telling us as well so that we would have an understanding for future events. So when he had spoken such words to me, we'll finish the chapter now, and turned my face toward the ground and became speechless, and suddenly one having the likeness of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can his servant, my Lord, talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor any breath left in me." And then again, the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong." So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." And then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth: no one upholds me against thee except Michael, your prince." And so there is an unfolding of events. This is the precursor to chapter 11, where the vision will come. And we'll get into that when we get back in 2 weeks on Wednesday. But notice what he says here as we close: "Peace be with you. Be strong." We need to be strong in the Lord, not in our own ability. Because when I am weak, we see the revelation of God's strength in our lives. Same thing here. Daniel falls down in this weakness and God strengthens him. God wants the Christians, you and I, to be strong, especially when we see things circling the drain around us, right? It is clear as day that the world is changing, but God never changes. And listen, the message that he's asked us to bring to the world hasn't changed as well. Hasn't changed at all. And like the angels who brought the message to the shepherds in the field of the promised Messiah, we, like those angels, and I've mentioned it several times, are now the messengers of God, bringing good tidings of great joy, which is to all people.